No idea. Okay, now then, every day at Holiday Bible Club, we had a story from the Bible. So we just had a story from Anthony the Ant, okay, which isn't a true story, okay? Ants don't really talk. Well, they talk to each other in their own special language, I guess, but you can't really understand what they're saying. So that's a made-up story. But we heard a really brilliant story every day, which wasn't made up, because it was a story from the Bible. It's stuff that actually happened. Now, can you help me tell the grown-ups what we learned from the stories in Holy Bible Club? Can you do that for me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Some of you are sure, some of you are not. Okay, so we'll see how we go. So our theme was a guy called Daniel. And Daniel, and he had three friends that we know were called. So can you all shout out the names? That's one, brilliant. Shadrach. Abednego, that's right. Do we have any Shadrachs in this morning? Do we have any Meshachs? Do we have any Abednegos? Anyone called Jeff here? this morning? No, okay. So they were difficult names. They were difficult names to remember. But we learned, didn't we, about Daniel? And what we're trying to learn over that week, what we're trying to learn was this verse that we were looking at, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that's the verse that you learnt so well. And Daniel, he needed to learn that for himself. Can anyone remember, where did Daniel come from? Where was his home? Where did Daniel come from? Okay, was it Liverpool? Did he come from Liverpool? No, where did he come from? Yes. He came from Israel, that's right. But when we did our first story on Wednesday, where was Daniel? Because he wasn't in Israel anymore. He was somewhere else. Where was he? Where was he, Ethan? He was in a place called Babylon. And we learned that Daniel had been taken from his home, from his family, from most of his friends. He still had his three friends with him, but lots of his friends were now gone. And he was taken away to a new country with a new language and a new way of doing things. And he was going to be taught how to speak and how to do things the way they did things in Babylon. And the king of Babylon, what was his name? He had a very difficult name. Do you remember the name of the king of Babylon? What was it? Yes. It's a bit of a tongue twister. Okay, I will... Yes. Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, any Nebuchadnezzars in here this morning? No? No, okay. It's not a very popular name. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. What did he want Daniel to do and his three friends? Can you remember, on that first day, what was it he wanted Daniel and his three friends to do, Max? Okay, golden statue. It was Thursday. You're getting there, but you're quite right. But what on Wednesday? What do you want them to do on Wednesday? It was to do with eating, to give you a clue. Oh, there we go. Yes. Yeah, the steak and all the nice, lovely food and things. So that's obviously not... Oh, can you see that? No, you can't really see that very well. Okay, but all the best meats, all the steaks and lovely sausages and meat like that, all the best stuff from the king's table, he wanted Daniel and his friends to eat all the lovely stuff, all the lovely food the king was providing. But what did Daniel want to eat? What did Daniel want to eat? Yes. Vegetables and water, that's right. Now, you may kind of think to yourself, why would anyone choose to eat vegetables? But you should eat vegetables. It's a good thing for you to eat, and it helps you to grow. Okay, just want to say that right now, okay? But Daniel just wanted to eat water and vegetables. Can anyone remember why he said that? Was it just that he was a bit picky about his food? And I don't like that, because I bet some of you do that, don't you? When your mums and dads put food in front of you. Parents, they do that sometimes. I don't like that, I don't want that. Is that you, is it? Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay, so God wanted him to eat the vegetables. Why was that? Why didn't God want Daniel to eat all the stuff on the king's table? Go on then, Carrie. Okay, because they wanted to all be all strong. That's a very good answer as well. The thing was, the king wanted Daniel to eat all of his special food because he wanted Daniel to get just so used to being in Babylon that he'd forget all about where he came from, all about the fact that he came from Israel. He'd forget about the fact he was to worship the God of Israel, and he would instead just go around worshipping the gods of Babylon, who weren't really gods at all. And Daniel knew that he had to be strong and say to the king, no, I don't want to be like everybody else in Babylon. I want to be different. I want to be different from everyone else. And the way Daniel could do that, there wasn't a lot of ways he could do that, but one of the ways he could do that was to say, I know, I don't want all your posh food. I will just have some vegetables and I'll just have some water. So we learned that Daniel, even though he was in a country that wasn't his own, and in a language that he had to start to learn for himself. Who knows a different language here? Who knows a different language? Okay, from English, obviously. Yeah, did some of you know different languages? I was very bad at languages at school. I couldn't really understand all the other words. I was very, 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 very bad at it and learning new things. But, you know, it's very, very hard, isn't it, going to another country where people speak something completely different to what we're used to, and that was Daniel. But Daniel knew that because he trusted God, that God was with him wherever he went. And even in Babylon, which is a very scary place for Daniel, he knew that God was with him every step of the way. But we then learned something even more amazing. Because not only was God with Daniel in Babylon, but he was also with Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we've already heard the king Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make something. What did he make? What did he have made, King Nebuchadnezzar? He had a... Yes, David, yes. A statue. Now, was it a statue of a giraffe?
No.
Was it a statue of an elephant?
No.
Was it a statue of Cheryl Cole?
No.
No? No? Okay, what was it a statue of? What was it a statue of? Yes. It was a statue of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It was a massive, great, giant gold statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And what did he want people to do to the statue? What do you want people to do, Harry? He wanted people to bow down and worship the golden statue. Absolutely. So whenever some music would play, all the people would have to bow down and worship the statue. But what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do when the music was playing? What did they do?
Yes.
They didn't bow down. That is right. So there's a picture there, and you can see it a lot better than the adults can because the screen isn't great. But there's everyone else huddling down, bowing down to the statue, bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar. And there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are refusing to bow down to the statue. But King Nebuchadnezzar had said, if you don't bow down to the statue, something really bad was going to happen. What was the really bad thing? Yes. They were going to get thrown into a really hot, blazing furnace. Now, you children, you all know, don't you, that fire is very, very dangerous and you should stay away from it and never touch it. Well, this was a big, big, big fire. And the punishment was for not bowing down to get thrown into this big, big fire. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were brought to King Nebuchadnezzar, as you remember. And as they were brought there, and they said, look, you know, bow down or else you're going into the fire. And they said, well, look, king, whatever happens, if we get thrown into the fire and God saves us, brilliant. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and worship your statue. We will not do it. So what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened to them? What happened to them? Yes. That's right, they got thrown into the fire. I know some of you are looking very shocked. They got thrown into the fire. And as King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, what did he see? What did he see in the fire? Ruby. Brilliant, he saw, he was counting, right, so Shadrach, that's 1, Meshach, that's 2. Okay, his maths was pretty good. Abednego, that's 3. But there's actually 4 people wandering around, totally unharmed by the fire, not burned up at all. Their clothes were fine, they were fine. Who did we say the 4th person was? Who was the 4th person? Yes. That's right, God was with them in the fire, and God protected them in the fire. Now, some of you grown-ups here might think, well, okay, it's a great story to tell children, but hold on a minute, 3 guys in a big furnace, surviving, their clothes being perfectly all right, that seems a little bit difficult to believe. And, you know, for many of us, you might think, well, that is, that seems impossible. But when there is a God who is real, there is nothing that is too difficult or too hard for him to do. And actually, saving three men in a fire for God is actually, you know, pretty easy. It's impossible for us, but it is possible for God. And God was there with them in the fire, protecting them. And now the lesson that we can learn today is, well, okay, we may hopefully not have ever been thrown into a fiery furnace. I'm guessing no one has had that experience here this morning. But actually, when things are really, really bad, and I'm guessing as bad days kind of go, I would imagine being thrown into a furnace is probably pretty much as low as you can go, isn't it? So there's, you know, there's losing your car keys, isn't there, I guess, at one end of the spectrum. And then sort of down the middle there's losing your car keys and one born every minute on this evening. And then you've got, then the next stage down is then being thrown into a fiery furnace after that. But it's, you know, it is pretty much as low as you can possibly get. It is the, you know, the worst day ever. But actually, no matter how bad things are in life, if we, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, have our trust in God, we can know, as the memory verse says, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. No matter how bad things may be, no matter how tough things may be in life, we can know that God is with us every step of the way. And that's not some kind of big sort of cop-out or some kind of saying that we can't, you know, just sort of cope with life generally. Because when we struggle, when we find things hard in life, we always have, don't we, hopefully, friends around to help us. And we do rely on other people to get us through tough times. Well, why not rely on God to get through tough times? Because he's the best person to do that for us. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay, Friday, the final day of Holiday Bible Club, our final story. And we looked back from Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and we looked to Daniel, and we went forward a little bit in time. There was a new king in town, a guy called Darius. And what did Darius want people to do? I don't remember. What happened with Darius? What was King Darius about? I don't remember. Yes. That's right, because there were some people who were very jealous of Daniel, okay, because Daniel was very clever, he was very wise. And actually, whenever Darius wanted some answers to questions, he would ask Daniel. And so these people thought, well, let's catch Daniel out. Let's get the king to make a rule, a law that says that you've got to pray to King Darius. And Darius thought, oh, yeah, I quite like the sound of that. People praying to me, I like that, that's very nice. And so he set down the law. And they said, if anyone breaks the law, what was going to happen to them? If you broke the law, it's not a fire this time, but what was going to happen? Yes. That's right, into the den of lions. There's a very mean-looking lion there in a den. You're going to get thrown into a den of lions. That's right. Now, did Daniel pray to King Darius? What do we think? Did he pray to King Darius or not? What did he do? Yes. He didn't. In fact, he did what he always did three times a day, and he prayed to God. And so Daniel was dragged and he was taken to the lion's den. And what I want to do is I just want to read to you straight from the Bible what happened next. Okay, so this is what happened. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and they threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the ring of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. No one could get him out. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him. He could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed, and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. What an amazing rescue. So the king said, he didn't really want to throw Daniel into the den, but he said, Daniel, I really hope that the God whom you believe in, he will rescue you from the lions. Now, has anyone here ever been thrown into a lion's den? Just raise your hand. It's a safe bet, because let's be honest, if you have been thrown in one, you're not going to be raising your hand, are you? So it's fine. But we've not been thrown into a lion's den. Probably most of us here have not had to be rescued from that kind of situation, hopefully. But the Bible tells us that actually we do need rescuing. We do need rescuing. And really, that was what our story, Anthony the Ant, it was a made-up story, but it was a story to teach us about what God has done for us in rescuing us. So in the story, the ants disobey King Anthony, they go and do their own thing, they go past the spiky green trees, and they disobey that law that he gives to them, that rule that he gives to them. And that's what we have all done as well. Because we all do things that we shouldn't do, that God has said we shouldn't do, that our parents say we shouldn't do. We won't ask mums and dads and grandparents whether you're good all the time. We don't want to embarrass you. But, you know, we all do things that are wrong. And we won't ask you to say the things that your parents and your grandparents do. Don't want to embarrass them either. But we all make mistakes. We all get things wrong. And we've all broken God's law in one way or another. And so we need to be rescued. But not by King Anthony the Ant, okay, who's a made-up character, but by somebody else. And the Bible says this: the Son of Man came to seek and to save, or to rescue, the lost. It's a great verse of the Bible. And you may think, well, who's the Son of Man? Who do you think the Son of Man might be? Okay, it's a bit of an odd title, isn't it? Who might the Son of Man be? Finley. The Son of God. Brilliant. And another name for the Son of God would be? Who do you think it is? David. Jesus. Brilliant. Okay, so in the same way that King Anthony the Ant came down to rescue his ants and his people, God sent Jesus to come and rescue us because we have disobeyed God's rules. And that's not just a message for children and for young people, it's a message for all of us. Because we all need rescuing. Not in exactly the same way as Daniel and his friends needed, in terms of lions, dens and furnaces, but we all need to be rescued from the wrong things that we've done. And although it was easy through God's power to rescue Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego from the furnace, it was easy for God to shut the mouths of the lions. That wasn't difficult. But to save us, that cost God a lot. Because he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be forgiven. He sent Jesus for us so we could be rescued. And we all need that. And if we come, as we read about Daniel, and we read right there about Daniel, right at the end, no wound was found on him. Why? Because he had trusted in his God. And that's what we need to do, is to put our faith and trust in God, that he is the one who's done everything for us to be rescued. And we just need to come and accept what God has done for us. When those ants were stuck on the other side of the crack, and there was King Anthony stretching himself out over the crack, would it have been any good, boys and girls, if the ants had stayed over the other side and just watched King Anthony? Would that have been any good? They wouldn't, though, would it? They had to cross over. They had to accept the gift that King Anthony was giving to them. And that's what we need to do with God. He has come and he sent Jesus to us so that we can be rescued. And we need to accept that wonderful, amazing gift from him and put our trust in him. And when we do that, we too can know, as Daniel and his friends did, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is so committed to us in love, he never lets us go. And so my question for boys and girls, and for grown-ups here as well this morning, is do you know that? Do you know God? And do you know that he is with you wherever you go? Do you know what it is to be forgiven? All those guilt and regret in life done away with because of what Jesus has done for you. If you'd like to speak any more about that, then please, I'll be on the door at the end. Please do come up to me and we can chat about what it is we believe here as a church, what the Bible says about how we can be rescued from all the bad things that we've done. Now we're going to sing a song that talks about this. As we do this, what we're going to do is the Rainbow and Junior Church leaders are going to take the kids out into the back hall. This is because we're going to have some teas and coffees served up the front here, and teas and coffees in the same place as small children is generally not a good idea. Okay, so they're going to go out into the back hall where you can collect them out there, and then there's going to be some refreshments up the front for you to have. Now, every Sunday morning, what we do have is an offering. Now, the offering is really for regular church attenders and members here at the church. If you're here as a visitor here, just because you've come for the Holiday Bible Club feedback, please do not feel you have to contribute in any way to the offering bag. Just pass it along the rows, it goes through. Other people will be doing exactly the same thing, so there is no embarrassment. But if you're a regular attender or a member here, then fill it up, basically is what we're saying. So there's going to be an offering as we sing our last song, so let's stand and sing this together.